Welcome to the ninth episode of the Short Stories Podcast in the second season of this podcast, guys. Today, I'm going to be announcing that in the summer, we're going to be doing some giveaway prizes. I don't know how or what we're going to be giving away, but if you guys are like these annual listeners, let me know. Like, maybe I'll post something and you guys tell me if you listen more, and you guys are definitely on the top spots for the raffle that I would be doing. But first of all, today, guys, we're going to be doing Storybird, and that's going to be today. I thought about a sun theme, because where I am in the world, it's pretty sunny lately, and I just wanted to do something on that. First, the Storybird has to do with like sun or sunset, and then we are going to watch a reaction of a girl that is allergic to the sunlight. You might have heard of her before, or of somebody who has had an allergic reaction to the sunlight. And then finally, we're going to be listening to a segment that I wrote from a school poem, but I just thought that it really related to today's theme of the sunlight. And it's going to be about like nature and the morning and evening, and I'm just excited to share with you guys. So first of all, let's get into the Storybird. This person, the author, is Mystical_Pacific. Thank you for letting us share your story. And the summary of this book is, your name is Richard. You have a best name friend named Russell. You have a friend named Royce. Royce knows something about Russell that you have no idea about. Something deadly. Viewpoint. Second person. Okay. So this is called Secret Sunset, and it's like a picture book, but it also has words in it. So let's start with it. The sun was setting, its rays like the tongues of fire, when you caught up to him, to the boy you've been following for half an hour after a chase that lasted 10 seconds. Your wiry fingers curled around his arm and yanked him to a halt. Your breathing was heavier than usual, but you weren't panting. His gaze was focused on his stomach. They could have been focused on you, since you were so short compared to him, but they weren't. Russell, you said, you can tell me what happened. He raised his head, looking down at you, ice-cold eyes half-opened. Blood-red hair fell in front of his face. The black health mask covered the lower half of his face. At that moment, you decided you weren't short. He was just tall. Richard, a raspy sort of voice, cold and unforgiving. He smiled, letting his arm go, the color your grip had brought to his ghostly skin fading away. That's my name, you briefly laughed, knowing his temper was rising by the way his eyes glazed. Come on, Rusty, what's it matter? You shrugged your shoulders. They don't care about you or me any more than you care about them. He sighed, removing his mask. Faint scars ran up both corners of his mouth. Might have made him look like the Cheshire Cat at one time. They saw it, he muttered, eyes on you. Saw what? You asked, guessing he was probably talking about the scars. It doesn't matter, he said, the glaze in his eyes hardening. The less you know, the better. You furrowed your brow. So it was something you didn't know about? Strange. Yeah, you knew he had too many secrets. But what could shake nonchalant him up so bad? He ruffled your hair. You didn't resist because he was in a fragile state, but you wanted to knock his hand away. It's getting late, Rich, he said. Your parents and brother aren't going to be glad. You blew your crimson hair from your eyes. Yeah, I guess you're right. Another secret concealed from you during sunset. The next day at school, he was nowhere to be seen. You glared at the people talking about him. He had a dangerous temper, was an unstable boy. Everyone knew it. He had a fragile mind, was an impressionable boy. Everyone knew it. What happened yesterday? You shook your head as you sat down by your seat near the back of the bus, eyes gazing out of the window at the other children going into buses. Richard, you glanced up to your left. Hey, Royce, you grinned. Roy sat down, gazed straight ahead. Heard the rumor? About Russell? No, purposely ignored him. Why you ask? Story goes, he's like a vamp. You snickered. Story goes, I'm a country boy. Royce looked at you, eyes mirthless. Your own smile disappeared. What's their reasoning? The bus doors closed and the engines revved up. The chatter was like a low hum. Other boys talked amongst themselves. Royce sucked his teeth. Well, I can see why. He's real alert at night, has better sense, is stronger, pretty smart, has wolfish teeth, and the rest. I don't think vampires have wolfish teeth. The bus driver alerted all of you of an accidental detour due to losing his way. Royce glared at you. You grinned. Besides, everyone knows vampires aren't real. The bus began its route. The wind ruffled your hair. Royce groaned. No one thinks he's a vampire, you. They're thinking he's a monster, like a beast. Which one? You texted your parents and wrote that the bus would be late. Greek? Royce shifted in his seat, lost his cool, and turned the football field into a battleground. Talk about that, you muttered. Must have take grit of iron. Anyway, what's scary about that? Boys fight all the time. The bus rounded a corner and dropped more boys off. Your stop was the last. Royce's was the second last. Russell didn't take the bus. He walked. Royce chuckled. That's what I said until people started seeming genuinely scared. You scoffed. Scared of a one-man army. That's what I thought, but logic says that something must have happened. Like what, you asked? Someone died during the fight? It goes he wasn't interested in killing. It seems to me, you said, that people are acting dramatic. He gets into self-violent defense, overdrive easily, just like a rhinoceros, but he's not entertained by violence. The bus stopped. Roy stood. My stop. See you tomorrow, Rich. Hopefully Russ will be there. Think they did something to him? You shook your head. Nah, he's at home resting his nerves. Usually does. Royce left the bus, and the two of you waved to the other goodbye as the bus drove on and off. The bus stopped. You and two other boys get off, then part ways. Your part of the neighborhood was beyond the woods. Your feet crunched the autumn leaves. The breeze whistled around you. Sun rays glinted off smoothened stones by the river. Someone was watching you. You clipped your hands in your pockets, fingers curling. You had nothing. You continued in silence, refusing to let your wariness show. A predator can always sense a prey's fear. No need to give the hunter extra cues. You left the woods and entered your neighborhood. You felt safer, but the sunset wasn't as obvious here. It looked like night was falling. Your small town was the type of place where people returned home early for family time. Hardly anyone was about. Your pace picked up. The quiet streets were eerier due to the cautious footfalls behind you. Your ears twitched. Richard. A voice that was cold, unforgiving, sort of hoarse. You kept walking. That wasn't Russell. It was an unknown man. Russell's voice was raspier, kind of quiet. You felt the person come closer. You heard the footfalls quicken. The man's footsteps escalated from a slow jog to a run. You let adrenaline take over, legs propelling you into a dash. You reassured yourself you could either outrun or outmaneuver your pursuer. The man broke into a sprint. The game was on. Around corners, across streets, through alleyways, your legs took you where your instincts told you to go, ears attentive to the other set of footfalls. A twist to the right, a return, a sharp turn to the left. Your legs went too fast for your own good. Your mind gave orders before you could think through things. A fear gripped you. You didn't know where you were. You weren't in your neighborhood. Dashing through crowds, bumping into people, you looked for the woods that signaled you were near home, for the river that said the woods were nearby. You ran into the direction of flowing water, towards the setting sun, to its fiery rays. Pavement turned to a weathered path. You still heard the footsteps. The man was still following you, but he was farther than he was earlier. You were burning out, your heavy breathing now agonized panting. Fear had stopped you from regulating your inhales and exhales. You sharply turned, and a low branch sent you spinning. You were out of kilter. Something silver flashed by. It, too, was spinning. Or maybe you imagined it. A groan, a fall from somewhere. The world was tilting too much to tell where. Light, calm footfalls coming from the direction you were heading, not the direction you were leaving. Then again, which way were you heading? The pain was dulled by endorphins. Your ankle felt a low throb. You could have got up, maybe even dashed off again, if your breathing wasn't so painful. If fear had spurred you on instead of paralyzed you. Richard, a raspy sort of voice. Russell, you can't catch enough breath to call back. Images unfocused. A sharp, hard slap. Images cleared. You pushed yourself up and leaned on the tree for your fall. The cold breeze went through your coat, into you. You saw it, that monster the other boys must have seen deep in those cold eyes. He ruffled your hair. It's getting late, Rich, he said. Your parents and brother aren't going to be glad. You blew your crimson hair from your eyes. You're right. Another secret revealed to you during sunset. The end. Wow. I just want to say, wow. That person who wrote the story, Mystical_Pacific on Storybird, you are a brilliant author. I don't know if you listen to me, but I just want to say that was a really interesting story. I think it was very descriptive. Like, second person, not the many people I think write in second person. It's usually from first or third person. And I think that it was just really, really descriptive, like, had a turn in the story. It wasn't just this, you being this guy that was, you know, just going to school and stuff. You were getting chased, which also reminds me of when my grandma said that when she was younger with her mom, then she went to a Fred Meyer, and then they heard this guy with his foot dragging behind them, and then it got faster and faster. And then they ran and unlocked the car, which was one of those ones where you had to go and literally unlock it with your key up to it. And they had gone quick before anything could happen. But that was just kind of sketchy. Okay, we're going to listen to the ad break and be right back to listen to a reaction of a girl allergic to the sunlight. Be sure to stick around if you want to hear that, guys. Okay, guys, we are back. Today, we're going to be listening to this video. It's called I Am Allergic to the Sun. It's by this YouTube channel that's called Share My Story. I listen to all these, like, different, you know, animated stories. And if you guys want to listen to those, they're pretty good, pretty entertaining. And they're based on true stories. Then the description of this is where a girl named Sophia was a kid and her family took her on beach trips and all that. And we're going to find out how did she get allergic to the sun. Let's listen now. Oh. Let's see. Hopefully we can listen now.
Hey, I'm Sophia. And when I was a kid, me and my family always took trips to the beach. I can still remember how much I loved building sandcastles and playing with those cute little crabs. However, one day, I suddenly felt dizzy and noticed that I was completely covered in rashes and hives. I got scared and ran to my mom to tell her that something was wrong. However, my throat was so swollen that I couldn't even speak. My parents saw that I was suffocating and rushed me to the hospital.
That'd be so scary. Like, you start suffocating stuff. You can't even tell your mom what's going on. She has to be like, oh my goodness, like freaking out.
Luckily, the doctors were able to save my life. But a few hours later, I got diagnosed with solar urticaria, or sun allergy. It means that whenever UV light rays hit my skin, I get rashes that burn like fire. To make things worse, my sun allergy is so extreme that I can't leave the house unless it's nighttime. Or...
Okay, I've heard that some people, or I think that, like, somebody that have a trampoline in their house if they're allergic to the sun instead of a trampoline outside. I think that's kind of whack, like, kind of cool, but funny. I don't know if that's, like, a real thing, but I think it is, might be.
Unless I'm wearing a big sweatshirt that covers all of my skin. You can imagine how my whole life changed in an instant. The worst thing was going to school, because all my classmates could play on the schoolyard while I had to stay inside my classroom with the curtains closed. I felt so lonely, and I couldn't even go to the cafeteria to eat with my classmates because it had such big windows and no curtains. Suddenly, I was a complete loner without friends.
That'd be so sad. Like, just because you have an allergic reaction, like, you should have friends, but I guess this one kind of made her kind of lonely.
I guess that's why I hated school, but life at home wasn't perfect either. I had to spend a lot of time with my evil brother. We hated each other.
Evil brother. I think that's so funny, because if I ever get, like, in a fight with my brother, I don't say he's, like, some evil brother. It's showing him as, like, a villain.
And he always told me that my sun allergy was ruining our family, because we couldn't go camping or go to the beach anymore.
Well, it's not, like, she couldn't have any control over it, really, so I don't see why he's complaining. Like, if he had the same thing, she might be complaining, I don't know.
I also had nightmares where I tried to run away from the sun, but it would follow me into our basement. Once the sun rays hit me, rashes would form on my arms, with blue slime coming out of them, and then I would slowly melt like a snowman on a beach. But most of the time, I spent laying in bed, crying and wondering if any guy would ever be willing to date a misfit like me. I was about to give up on life, but then my brother had his 13th birthday. My parents asked him if he had any wishes, and he said his only wish was to go back to the beach. My parents...
Oh, wow, he had to ask that, did he?
Got mad at him and told him to be considerate of my sun allergy and to stop talking about the beach. But he started crying, pointed at me, and said I was an evil vampire that was scared of the sun and tried to suck the blood out of our family. I remember feeling so terrible afterwards that I went to my mom and asked if she could bring me to a foster home because I didn't...
Whoa. That is so sad. Like, she really, like... Her parents are trying to be so supportive of her sun allergy, which she didn't want to get stuck with. But her brother had to make everything worse, honestly. It's like, and she hated, like, being around her brother so much that she wanted to be in a foster care home. I mean, I wouldn't do that, but that's just extreme.
Didn't want to be a burden to our family anymore. Luckily, I have the greatest mom in the world. And she said that she would never, ever leave me because she just... loves me too much. I guess that's exactly what I needed to hear. Because the next day, I decided once and for all to stop being a victim of my sun allergy and to finally take control of my life again. I joined an indoor hockey team to make new friends. I bought a telescope and took my family out to the beach and watched the stars at night. And I stopped thinking of my sun allergy as something bad that happened to me. And instead, I started to think of it as something good that happened for me, and that made me become a stronger person. Now I'm in college, and people here are much more understanding. Some even think it's cool that I have a sun allergy. And there was one cute guy who approached me and said he always wanted to date a good-looking vampire like me. And I've also decided that if I should ever get married, that it will be during a solar eclipse, because that would be so romantic. I guess it sounds crazy, but at this point in my life, I'm truly grateful for my sun allergy. It taught me that the events in our lives don't control us, but that it's all about how we react to those events. The first 2 years after I developed my sun allergy, I couldn't stop pitying myself, and I spent every night crying myself to sleep and wondering why life was so unfair to me. However, now I've realized that complaining about things you can't control doesn't make sense. It's a waste of time and energy. Instead, I tried to only focus on those things that I do have control over, like studying for school or having a good time with my family, playing board games and making jokes. I just want to thank you for listening to my story. I hope you learned something from it. And please don't forget.
Oh my goodness. That was such an interesting story. And plus it looks like in the end, her brother even kind of looked like he was nice to her. Probably because her mom made her brother be nice and not evil anymore. But I think it's also because she actually came out bold and her sun allergy. And I mean, yeah, I think like a lot of good things came out of that. Even though there's something bad that may happen in your life, something good can happen too. Okay, guys. Well, we're going to the last segment. I have a poem. It's like a story poem, I guess. No, it's just a poem. What am I talking about? And in my English class at school, we had to do this nature poem. And I just thought that this is the second stanza of my poem titled Morning and Evening. And I just wanted to share it with you guys. Morning and Evening. The sun rises in the west, welcoming each glorious new day. The tall, faded green grass sways, like a skinny woman doing a Hawaiian dance. The ocean pushes on the shore, like two brothers pushing each other around. The seagulls are watchers. They seek destruction without knowing it. They each look for something new to devour their hunger each day. The dolphins and seals never reach the sight of the people, for they are too far out to see anyways. The clouds don't block the sun completely, for they want the glory of God to shine bright. The evening sun comes as a white candy melt, sinking into the sea. The windy air of the beach travels as the orange sun sets in the east. Thank you guys for listening. That was about, like, basically the morning and evening in like a beach, because I went to the beach the other weekend, and this is kind of based on that. Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Short Stories Podcast to get updates of when every episode is being released. And also, yeah, hopefully in the summer we'll have, if you guys have any like ideas, DM me on Instagram at Short Stories Podcast, any ideas for what you would like to win in prizes, because otherwise I'm just gonna probably just choose and pick. And I hope you guys are gonna have a great week, a great Tuesday, whatever day you're actually listening to this on. And thank you for listening. Adios.